And good to see you this morning. Exodus chapter number 16 in your Bible. And I want to be real practical with you this morning. I want to be a help and a blessing to you and your Christian life. This week on Monday, as I was sitting down studying and getting my bearings for the week, as far as the preaching and the messages, God just really stirred my heart through something else that I read, and I began to study. And the Lord took me to Exodus chapter 16, and I want to try to be a help to your Christian life this morning. How many realize as Christians, sometimes it's the things we know already that sometimes we struggle with the most? And in the Bible, in Exodus chapter 16, we're going to see something real practical and simple, but I believe it's kind of the cornerstone of your Christian life. It's so important. It's so vital. And yet we let it slip, we miss it, we let it go. And I think the Lord would have us look at Exodus 16 this morning. And look at verse number 11. Exodus 16, verse number 11. If you're there this morning, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Good, just to know you're awake. Exodus 16, verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given us to eat. Father, I pray as we look at your word, that God, this message would be a help and an encouragement as we go forward in our Christian lives. Lord, whether this week was a tremendous, great, exciting, shouting week for the Christian, where it just seemed like everything went right, and Satan could try all he wanted to, but had no success, it was just well, or whether perhaps there's a believer in the room that had a hard week, a tough week, maybe one of discouragement, maybe one of where Satan tried to get them to fall, and Lord, just they need strength, encouragement. Maybe there's someone here that's lost and without Jesus this morning. Whatever the need is, I pray that you'd help us as we preach the Bible. I pray that you give grace and strength now. I need it, and these folks need it, and we've come to be fed from heaven. So I pray that you bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God delivered Israel from Egypt and was now leading them on an 11-day journey from Mount Horeb to the Promised Land. And on their journey, they began to complain and murmur against the Lord, but God, in His grace, was kind to His people and provided water, provided manna, and quail for them to eat. Let me stop. This is not the message, but let me just remind us that God sure is good to us, and aren't you glad God is good to us even sometimes when we don't appreciate it, when we complain? I don't know, won't have you raise your hand, but how many of you found yourself complaining about something this week, murmuring about something this week? How many realize there's always something to complain about? But aren't you glad that even in our frailty, even in our sin, sometimes God is still good to give us the things that we need? Come on now. He sure is good to us. How many meals did you have this week? How many glasses of clean water? How many hot showers? How many glasses of sweet tea, or down here, glasses of sweet sludge did you have this week? I mean, God's been good. I know the gas price. Trust me, I've been murmuring about it all week long. But you know what I still had in the van this morning to get here? Gas in the tank. God sure is good to us, isn't He? And God here provides for His people, and He gives them water, manna, and quail. And this morning we're going to focus in on that manna. The word manna literally means, what is it? What is it? And when Israel saw those little round cakes laying on the ground, they said, that's manna, because they literally said, what is that? What is that? And so God gave them manna. And just like Israel needed physical bread, not only do you and I need that good, well, I was going to say white bread, but white bread's not the thing anymore, all that processed sugar and all that, but we need good bread from time to time. We need food to sustain. We need the sustenance that God provides for us. But not only, listen, not only do we need bread to live physically, listen this morning, you absolutely need spiritual bread to live spiritually. You need bread. You need physical bread, but you need spiritual bread. Now, this morning, I thought about bringing a loaf of bread just by way of illustration, but I thought that was kind of boring. So whenever I read about manna, and I read about that little round cake, you know, I'm going to be honest, and this might be my carnality, but one thing comes to mind. There it is, right there. That's our manna this morning. I don't know exactly what it looked like, that wafer, but maybe it was a small, and for some reason, I got to put it away because I'm tempted to eat that thing right in front of you, but that just a little cake, just a little cake. And that's all that wafer was, just a little piece of bread. God gave that to his people. But as we think about that this morning, I want to remind you about a couple introductory thoughts. First of all, Jesus is the bread of life for salvation. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. This morning, if you don't know for sure that you're saved, you've never been regenerated, you've never been converted, you, whatever word we use, you don't know that you're saved, forgiven, on your way to heaven. You don't know you have eternal life. You don't need bread from Walmart. You don't need bread from the communion table. You don't need that kind of bread. What you need is the living bread, and Jesus is the living bread. You must receive Christ just like you receive physical bread. You must receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Have you received Christ? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that, I love this word, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, thank God that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And if you don't know him this morning, I got great news. It's greater news than a Hostess cupcake, and that's that Jesus died and rose again for you, and you can trust him by faith and have everlasting life. Jesus is the bread of life for salvation. But Jesus is the bread of life for strength. John 6:63, while still today, people were concerned because Jesus said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. They were getting the idea, and the Roman Catholic Church still gets the idea, that when they come to their time of communion, they take the wine and the bread, and they believe that that literally, like literally, turns into the actual blood and flesh of Jesus. We don't believe that because the Bible says, Paul said, this do in remembrance of me. But just so nobody would get the idea that you literally had to drink his blood and eat his flesh, Jesus said then in that same chapter in verse 63 and 64, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, but there are some of you that believe not. Jesus is saying that we need to receive him just like you eat flesh and drink blood. His flesh was given on the cross. His blood was given on the cross. And when we receive Him, when we repent and trust Him, for as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, were saved. And then, listen, here's the practical part this morning. Every single Christian, listen, needs not just Jesus to be saved, but now you need Jesus every day of your life to grow and be healthy and be strengthened. One man said this, Jesus is the manna for your souls. It is by feeding on Him that our spiritual life is nourished and sustained. As He only can give life, so He only can sustain it. And this He does by presenting Himself to us in the written Word by the Spirit. Here's the message. You need to get saved. You need to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now if you have not. You said, right now? Shouldn't I wait till the end of the service? If you know you're lost and you know you're going to hell and you know you need Jesus, I wouldn't wait till the next 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 minutes are over. I would trust Jesus right now in your seat as your Lord and Savior. You need to get saved. But after you're saved, we need Jesus every day. You said, where do I find Christ? Isn't He in heaven at the right hand of the Father? He is. But as that old author said, every time we open up the Bible, every time we open up the Word of God, you know what we find? We find Christ. We find Christ. And every day we need to eat of the words of Scripture. We need to digest heavenly manna for the soul. Oh, Christian, perhaps the reason we're weak in our Christian faith, perhaps the reason sometimes we find no power, perhaps the reason we find ourselves messing with sin is not because God is lost, not because God went anywhere. God's always there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But because we have not opened up the holy Word of God and soaked our heart in the buffet, in the pages of Scripture, and so learned Christ every day, every day. Last night we took Tyler out for his birthday dinner. He suggested steak, so I suggested cookout. Well, we went and got him a steak. It was his birthday. And how many realize when you take a family like that out for a steak and a birthday dinner, you got to have to sell one of your kids to pay for the dinner the next week? We had a good time. We went out to Outback and I got some shrimp, and Tyler got a steak, and we kind of just splurged as a family. It was a birthday and everything. And we got home, and I walked into the kitchen and the living room, and there all over the living room, Toby, the beagle, the almost perished beagle, took Summer's book that she has been reading and tore that thing to shreds. I mean, it was everywhere. Now, I'm all for pets. I believe you ought to treat your pets right, and I love pets. I'm not for abusing animals. But I'm going to be honest. Sometimes the rage comes in, and sometimes you're thinking, I just want to kill that dog. He ate that book. It was everywhere. We ought to be so hungry for the Word of God. We ought to be so hungry for Christ that we don't let a day go by where we don't, can I use the phrase, tear into the Bible. And I wonder this morning, if you've received the manna from heaven, Christ, as your Lord and Savior, but there's a whole lot of saved people in there this morning, and I want you to be honest with yourselves, and I want you to be honest with God as I preach to you for a few moments. Do you eat manna every day? Do you open the Word of God and digest the glorious nutrients of Christ found in His Word? I want us to notice in Exodus 16 how God told Israel to treat the manna that He brought down from heaven to the ground so they could eat. Let's talk about this manna. Number one, I want you to notice that the manna was provided. Look at Exodus 16 and verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Look at verse 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Their manna was provided. Psalm 105, verse 40 says, The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with bread from heaven. Can I remind us this morning, as Jesus is the living bread, aren't you glad that God one day sent his Son from heaven? Bible says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is not a concept or idea manufactured by religious minds in a university on someone's desk. Oh no. The Son of God was a gift from heaven itself. And he came. The Bible says that he has come for us, John 3:16. One man said, He provided for them according to his love for them. The Bible tells us that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But not only is the Son provided from heaven, just like the manna was rained down from heaven, so the Son came down from heaven. But I'm glad this morning that the Bible, the Scriptures, is not a book that some intellectual sat down and put together to give us a religious scheme or to trick us and to make us think that we have a book from a God. But I'm glad this morning, through time and testimony and archaeology and prophecy and its own testimony itself, I thank God this morning that I believe with all my heart the book I hold in my hand, the Bible, is not the invention of man, but it came down from heaven. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. Paul just didn't decide to write a letter one day as if he's going to claim it's from God and it wasn't. No, the Bible tells us that God gave the words to those men and they wrote down the words the Holy Ghost gave them. He used their personalities. He used who they were. You can see that coming through in their letter. It was from God, but Paul penned them, and John penned it, and Matthew penned. God used their personalities. But I remind you, we're not preaching words of men. We're preaching words of God. We don't believe the Bible just contains the words of God. We don't believe the Bible sometimes is the Word of God, but we believe the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse, to the last amen. We believe that the whole Bible is the very inspired Word of God. What a precious gift. What a precious gift to have a copy in the Bible, of the Bible, in your hands. Those throughout generations and centuries before us had sometimes no copy of the Bible. And yet you and I go home to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 copies of heavenly manna that we can read and eat and be filled with Christ. Oh, thank God that the manna was provided. But notice, the manna was pure. Pure. Look at verse 31, if you would please. Exodus 16, and notice verse number 31. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. This round cake, this round piece of bread was not made from the hands of men. It was not soiled with the dirt from one's fingernails. It was not made with the sweaty hands of a lady cooking over a hot kettle or pot. No, no, this was bread from heaven. Can I just say this? You wouldn't find a hair in this bread like you would at the rolls, let's say at Outback or other restaurants. How many of you have ever had a hair in their meal before and it just about ruined the meal? No, no, this was not soiled. This was pure. This was from heaven. This was God, the cook, if you will, raining it down for His people. And can I remind you, the manna God has given us is also pure. Jesus Christ Himself, 1 Peter 2, verse 22, the Bible says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. This morning we sang one of my favorite hymns, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Listen, if Jesus would have sinned, if Jesus would have cursed, if Jesus would have committed adultery, if Jesus would have blasphemed, then we could not sing that song. But the reason we sang that song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, is because there was never sin that came out of His heart and through His lips. Our Savior died for you on the cross, listen, because He was pure. Pure, holy, without blemish. But I also remind you that not only is Christ the pure manna from heaven, but thank God His Word is pure and sweet to the taste. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 140, Thy Word is very pure, therefore Thy servant loveth it. Oh, I'm so glad I can hold the Bible. And when I study how we got the Bible, when I study the manuscripts, when I study how they translated it and the philosophy of translated it and those that translated it, that they actually believed in the Word of God. They weren't infidels or heretics. And how God, through the centuries and through the ages, kept those manuscripts, kept the Word of God pure all the way down through time. And I truly believe with all my heart, when I hold my blessed King James Bible in my hand, I don't believe that this is a book soiled with man's bad philosophy, but I believe that it is the very inspired, preserved words of Almighty God. The Bible is pure. The Bible is holy. I don't want to go get a bowl of cereal and find out my Lucky Charms were good, but the milk had been expired. I want to go and have good, and if Lucky Charms can be wholesome in the first place. But I want to eat good. I don't want to eat spoiled, rotten. No, when I come to the Bible, thank God for a pure Savior. Thank God for a pure Word. Thank God, God promised over and over again to preserve His words. And I believe when God makes a promise, He always keeps His promise. The manna was pure. It was from heaven. Number three, I want you to notice, though, that the manna was pursued. Pursued. Look at verse 16 in our text. Exodus 16, verse 16. Here's the practical. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather. Gather of it, every man, according to this to his eating. An omer for every man, according to the number of your persons, which are in his... take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. But notice it was gathered. When God was leading Israel out of the clutches of Egypt and that last plague, remember the death angel? God gave one remedy to escape the curse of the death angel, that firstborn would die. He said, take a lamb, a pure lamb, a spotless lamb. And I want you to take that lamb, and I want you to kill that lamb, and get that blood in those bowls. And I want you to take the blood, and I want you to get that blood, and I want you to strike the doorpost, top and the sides. And when the death angel would come by your house, when he sees the blood, he will pass over you. It couldn't have been enough just to kill the lamb. It couldn't have been enough just to say, well, I believe that that blood is good. No, the blood had to be applied. The blood had to be applied. And it does no good. It does no good, child of God, to come to church and say, well, we believe in the Bible. I sang the B-I-B-L-E as a kid. I really do believe God's word. But you never pick it up. You never read it. You don't spend time on it. You got time for all kinds of things. And let's be honest. Let's be honest. We all waste time. Well, I don't have time, Brother Rick. Look, I know you're busy. I'm not mocking you. I know some of you in this room work 60, 70 hours a week, and you've got all kinds of, I understand that. I'm not mocking your schedule. But ladies and gentlemen, it does no good to say we believe in the manna if you're not going to go gather the manna. And it does no good for us to say we believe in the Bible and not pick it up and gather it for ourselves. One man said, no believer can expect to prosper in his soul if he neglect the word of God. Lord, we're hungry. I'm going to rain down manna from heaven. Yeah, but Lord, I'm too tired to go gather it. I don't have time to go gather it. I don't have the will to go gather it. Lord, can't you just drop that manna right down between my lips and deposit it right here in the glory land of my mouth? Can't you just, the Lord says, no. Moses, you tell them, I'll provide, they gather. I'll provide, they gather. Ladies and gentlemen, God's provided. You know what your job and my job is? To gather, to open, to read, to gather. Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Meditate day and night. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Psalm 42:1 and 2, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. O God, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Listen, this morning, I pray and I hope that you've got a thirst. You've got a hunger. You've got a desire for God, to know God. And where you find God is right here in the Bible. I say this kindly. I'm not trying to beat you up this morning, but I'm preaching as your pastor because God spoke to me. Listen, if there's no hunger, if there's no desire, if there's nothing in you this morning that says, he's right, the Bible's right, if there's nothing in you that's speaking to you in that still small voice of the Spirit that says, come on, come on, ladies and gentlemen, something is wrong. Where's the hunger? Where's the thirst? Over the years, my wife and I have had the privilege of sitting down with many couples. As a pastor, you counsel. As a pastor, you sit down and you hear people's burdens and concerns. And sometimes it's marriage counseling. Sometimes it's individual. Sometimes it's young people. Sometimes it's a grandma and grandpa. Sometimes it's just a different, whatever it is. And just about every time, and I can't say this has been the answer from the people every time, but I will tell you this, many, many times when someone comes in and I say, what's going on? And they share their problem. They share the need. They share how their life's a mess or this is going wrong or our marriage is falling apart. I always start with these questions. Number one, tell me when you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, it does no good for me to try to help them fix all these marriage problems if they're not going to allow the one into their heart and life who designed marriage in the first place. But then I ask them this every time. Are you faithfully in the Bible? Are you reading the Bible? Do you faithfully go to church to hear the Bible? Ladies and gentlemen, we can ask God all day long to fix our problems, but until we leave the tent and go gather, we will never be filled. Do we really think that we can fix our marriage problems and life's problems and mind problems and heart problems? Do we really think that we can fix it without the Word of God? Should I just go to the pond this morning and throw in a hook? Now, maybe I could catch something. But no, there's bait, there's worms, there's all kinds of things to use. And so it is, we think that we can just do it on our own. And God says, no, I've got bread for you. I've got life for you. I've got help for you. But you've got to go gather. You've got to take the time. You got to put in the effort. You got to stop making excuses. And I preached a couple weeks ago that we as God's people need to start putting our excuses to death and nailing them on the cross. And that may start with your excuse about why you're not in the Bible and reading God's Word every day, why you're not in church hearing the Bible, why the Bible has grown dust as it sits. Manna was pursued. Are you gathering? Are you gathering? I want you to notice the manna was a priority. Look at verse number 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna, for they wist not what it was." And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." And then notice verse 17, "And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less." It was pursued. They had to gather. And notice, kind of off the last point, but a little bit further, it was a priority. No manna, no eat. God was not a menu where they could, in the tent in the morning, call up to headquarters and say, "God, I'd like a plate of grits and bacon and eggs, and I'd like you to put a couple of waffles on there from Waffle House, Lord. And then what's that restaurant that, God, you're in? Oh, Chick-fil-A. God, bring down a chicken sandwich and some fries, some waffle fries, and a nice big sweet tea. And, Lord, there was no menu. We got to get past the thought in prayer. Now, I'm all for asking. God says to ask. That's what part of prayer is, asking. But I'll remind you, God's not your waiter or your waitress. We need to come back to realizing when we come in prayer and we ask, we get to address the holy God of heaven who loves us and cares for us. There was no button to call in an order like a hotel, pick up the phone and get room service. God said, "I love you and I'm giving you food. I'm giving you something nutritious. I'm giving you something heavenly, something even sweet." I remember when I was a kid, there were certain foods that I did not like to eat. And isn't it amazing as the years go by, your tastes change? When I was a kid, I used to watch my mom slice open an avocado. And she'd pull the seed out, throw that big giant seed away, and she would take a spoon and just start eating the avocado. I heard some, I heard some, And always, I just thought, "Oh, Mom." I remember trying it one time, and I just did not like. And then one time, years later, Summer and I had been married. I think at least Tyler had been born, maybe Alex. We went to a family barbecue at Jose and Aaron's house, and they had hamburgers. And there was that sliced avocado sitting there. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to give it one more try. True story, I had a piece of that avocado, and I liked it. I liked it. And then I learned to put salt on avocado. Oh, my veins are hurting right now just talking about it. Then I found out avocado is called brain food. It's good for you. I actually like something that's good for you. God was so good to his people. He gave them something from heaven, something nutritious, and he made it sweet to their taste. Oh, can I just say, God is so good to give us not just what we need, but isn't he so good to add a little sweetness to it every once in a while? The Bible says it was a priority. See, it was a priority every day. The Bible tells us, look at verse number 21 quickly. And they gathered it every morning. Every morning. So the dad would go out, depending on how many in his tent, he would go out and gather the manna, bring it back in, and they would eat. They would need it every single day. Every morning. Luke 11:13, give us day by day our daily bread. Unless you're fasting for a reason, how many of you appreciate the fact that God allows you to eat every day? When you go without a meal, you know it. Your stomach starts to growl. Sometimes you go long enough, your body can start to shake, not getting the food or the caffeine or whatever it is you need. But ladies and gentlemen, our spiritual life, our radar, a dashboard light should be going off when we're not soon enough in the Bible. Something's wrong. A light's beeping. You're not in the Word. The Holy Spirit should be saying, you need some bread. You need it every day. Someone said yesterday's portion will not do for today. God said, gather what you need for the day. Gather what you need. Look at verse number 20. Look at verse number 19. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. You ever pulled out rotten food? The stench, maggots. I woke some of you up on that one, didn't I? Vile, rotten food. God said, tell them just every day they need it. They need it. Why? So they wouldn't get lazy. And if they tried to, well, we're just going to hide a little bit for like a 2 a.m. snack. If they pull that out, worms, rotten. You know the point is? You need fresh manna every single day. Look, what you get this morning from the Word of God, praise the Lord for it. But the message this morning and the Word of God today, well, you need it tomorrow. And you need it Tuesday. It was a priority. And it was a priority to be gathered early in the morning. Early in the morning. The Bible says in verse number 21, and they gathered it every morning. Every morning. I know we got some folks here that probably have different work schedules. Maybe some work nights. And so our morning is not your morning. I get that. Take it for what it's worth. But I want to say this. They gathered in the morning. You know, I found over the years, and I've tried all kinds of different things, but the sweetest times I've ever spent with the Lord, I would say, is in the start of the day in the morning. In the morning. Getting with God. That's what Jesus did in Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Starting with God. Now this quote is from years ago, so he's going to reference a newspaper. Some of the kids may not even know what a newspaper is, but I think you'll get the point. If the daily newspaper be pursued as the first thing in the morning, there will be but feeble appetite for heavenly manna. If the cares of household or the anxieties of business are allowed to crowd in upon the soul before it receives strength from God through meditation on His Word, it need scarcely be wondered as if things are felt a drag and a burden all day. What has happened to the church of Jesus Christ? We humbly suggest, the writer says, that the chief cause of the low state of spiritual life among the people of God and the lack of divine power in the service of the Lord is this: neglect of the soul's nourishment through a lack of meditation on the Word of God for their soul. Ladies and gentlemen, it not ever be a question. You need daily manna. Make God's Word a priority in your life. You say, I don't have time. You don't have time to not be in God's Word. I'm too busy. If you're too busy for God's Word, you're too busy. And I understand, I respect all that our church does outside of the church. But dads, moms, teenagers, you need to feast every day on God's Word and learn of Christ. And then I close with this. The manna was purposed. Yes, God gave them bread to eat. Just as you'll go home for lunch and have something mom had growing in the crock pot. I've had some meals that I thought were growing in the crock pot. Not my wife's. Everything she makes is delicious. But I've been to some church buffets. Somebody say amen. Oh, yeah. You go home and you eat what's in the crock pot. Maybe some of you go out to lunch. Whatever it is, you'll eat. But notice in verse 12, go back to verse 12 very quickly. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, your God. See, it was an immediate purpose to know God, to hope in God, to grow in God. You know why you need the Bible every day? Let me tell you why you need the Bible every day. Because you're not God, but the good news is you get to know Him. You know where you get to know God? Through the Bible. Through the Bible. But there was one more purpose I just want you to see. And that's verse 32, 33, and 34. and we'll bring the plane in for a landing. Look at verse 32. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations. So put some in a pot and keep it for the generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot, put an omer of full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. And we know from studying that's going to go in the ark. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. The children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. And an omer is the tenth part of an eph. I just want you to think about this. Not only was it for the people of God then and there to recognize that God cares about them, God loves them, God's going to provide for them. But you know what the manna was also for? It was for those future kids coming up. It's for those future generations. That one day an old priest or prophet would perhaps hold up that pot, maybe point to the ark, and say, there's something in that ark that you don't perhaps know too much about. What is it? Years ago, when great-grandma and great-grandpa left Egypt. And in that 11-day period, when they went from Egypt or Mount Horeb to the banks of the Jordan to go into the promised land, they didn't have any water and God gave them water. They didn't have any food and God did something miraculous. What did he do? What did he do? He rained down bread from heaven, sweet to the taste, and quail in the evening. God preserved some of that bread in that pot. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want our kids just to grow up knowing how to be religious, but don't we want our kids to grow up knowing the God of the Bible? A true, real, personal relationship with Him. Mom and Dad, you and I, while our kids are at home, have the great privilege to go outside the tent and to gather up some of that manna for our kids to eat. I hope every parent in this room gets your family together during the week and open up the Bible. Read the Bible to your kids. Because one day your kids are going to grow up. They're going to be 23 and want a steak for their birthday. And you know what I hope they do? I hope they learn to one day leave their tent and go gather the manna for themselves. And say, Dad, look what I learned of Jesus today. But that'll never happen if we parents don't gather the manna for our kids now. It's important. It's important that we take time every day to open up God's Word and to read. And there's so many reasons why. But God said here that they might know who I am. And so the future generations coming along would know that I was the God. I was the God that provided bread, manna in the wilderness. And I'm so glad all these years later, God's still given us preserved bread that we can know who He is. Simple message, practical message, but just a pointed question. Do you every day make it a priority to feast on bread? Now, if you're a new Christian, you say, man, I haven't been doing that. Don't get discouraged. I got good news. Start gathering today. Start opening the Bible and reading today. But I'm concerned sometimes of those of us who've been saved for a lot of years. We've been doing this thing for a long time. You know when to come to church. You know when the schedule is. You know when to stand. You know when to sit. You know what to do. It's become routine, and I'm not against routine, But sometimes routine can mess up the reality of what it's supposed to be. And if you're in this room and you're one of the blessed saints of the church, you may be older in years, you may be in the prime of family time, I don't know where, and you're not opening and gathering the Bible for you or your family, can I encourage you this morning? Can I admonish you this morning? You need to start gathering now. Because you need God. You need God every day. Young person, you need God more than you understand you need. And we don't just say, well, God, you know, in the past, and God, we go to the Word of God, and we learn of Christ through this blessed man. Simple message, but I hope to encourage you this morning. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your people. Lord, you did encourage and excite my soul on Monday when I began to study this practical thought for Sunday morning message. And Lord, I don't know who, but there might be some people in this room. They're saved. They truly are born again. They're Christians. But they have not been in the Bible. They used to be. It used to be important to them. It could be that there might be a teacher in the room. Sunday school, junior church. And they'll open it up to get a good lesson. But they forget every other day. Pray for our teenagers. I pray that they would get a hold of the Bible now. Pray for moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas. There might be some moms or dads that might need to commit this morning to start opening the Bible with their family and put to death their excuses. God, thank you for church where we come and hear the Bible in classes and in messages. Oh, how we need the Bible. Lord, if there's someone here without Jesus, may today be the day they eat heavenly manna for the first time. They receive Christ as Lord and Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, you've listened well. I wonder this morning if there might be someone.